Our epistle reading for tonight comes from Hebrews chapter 10. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord. Let's rise for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 22. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." Then he said to them, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Maundy Thursday is called that because it's the time where Jesus gave his great command, his mandate to his disciples. Love one another as I have loved you. As a Lutheran, I'm primed to hear that as law. And the law is good and wise. We should love one another. But I also know that the law doesn't come with its own power. Just telling me to love doesn't mean that I will. In fact, sometimes telling me to do something means I will probably do exactly the opposite. The power with which to live the law must come from somewhere else. As the police sang in my youth, there must be an invisible sun. It's what surrounds that mandate that is the invisible sun. The gospel, according to John, records the mandate and shows how Jesus loved those he gave it. And John, the night he was betrayed, Jesus washes the disciples' feet, including the feet of Judas, who had already negotiated to betray him. John's gospel is the last of the four, and it's pretty clear that he had the other three before him. In some ways, John's gospel is both that eyewitness account and it's the first commentary on the gospel story. And this night and this supper are the perfect examples of that. Matthew, Mark, and our reading tonight from Luke all record a Passover meal where Jesus institutes the sacrament. John has the meeting for the supper in that upper room, but you won't find the words of institution from John's gospel. Back in his chapter 6, Jesus ends up chasing off most of his followers by saying that you must eat the body and drink the blood of the Son of Man, or you will not have life in you. But here, where we would expect it, not a word. Instead, we have Jesus washing the disciples' feet, giving them a mandate, and praying for them to be one. I think we have from John a commentary, a reflection on the purpose and power of the sacrament. This meal of our Lord's body and blood that we share tonight is his perpetual foot washing of all of his disciples. Simon Peter, when he saw what Jesus was doing, did what Simon often does. He objects, "You shall not wash my feet." And when Jesus warns him, and what I hear is the voice of a good friend who knows exactly what his more exuberant and less sharp friend will say, "If I don't wash you, Peter, you have no share with me." Peter jumps right in and says, "Then not just my feet, but all of me." And Jesus' reply to that was simply, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet. But he's completely clean. And you, Peter, are clean. You, my friends, are clean. You have been washed in Christ's baptism. That has made you clean. But we have not been pulled from this world. We continue to walk in it. And in our walk, even our walk in the way, our feet get dirty. So when our work of the day is done, when we've come in to recline and to rest and to eat, Jesus washes our feet. This is the table of the Lord. It's his house. We are the servants, but here Jesus washes our feet. The Lord has taken the role of the servant, and he's given us himself. How are we to love each other as he loved us? By giving others of ourselves. And we're empowered to do that because Jesus continuously in this meal gives us himself. He continuously washes our feet when we gather, wherever two or three are gathered. The last thing that Jesus does in John's gospel at this meal is to pray for the unity of his disciples. We have been given the mandate, the law that explains the expectation. We have been given a demonstration of what that looks like, Jesus' washing of their feet. And we have been sacramentally given the power that invisible son to live the law. And we've been given this by his grace. What then are the fruits of this sacrament? How should we know that it's been effective? We are united. Jesus' prayer in John includes the petition, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." We are to be united in our confession, grounded on that word. We are united in the truth. When Jesus told his swelling followers that they had to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, most of them turned away. They said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can take it?" Likewise, Jesus reiterates in this meal on this night in John that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Our life, our salvation is found in Christ alone. Our knowledge of this is based upon the word alone. These have been given to us by his grace alone. And we receive all of these in faith alone. If this is a hard teaching, one can always turn away. But as Peter responded, "Where shall we go? Because you have the words of eternal life." We are united in Christ. We are united in that truth. We share in one bread and our one body. Even as we are all partakers of this one meal, partaking of this meal, we confess our unity in the faith. And then we are to be united not only in word, but in deed. Love one another. Faith is made perfect in love. Leaving from that meal, Jesus would go on to demonstrate the depth of his love for us. We are to be united in his love. In a love that he has shown us, given us in this meal, and from that love flowing on out towards our neighbor. It's that love that unites all of us. One thing that nobody could ever say about Luther was that he was a coward. Luther always asks the tough question, even in the small catechism. He asks plainly, "How can bodily eating and drinking do such great things?" Because all we see here are little bread-like things. How sometimes I wish we could actually use real bread. And we see wine, the vintage we might squabble over sometimes. And how can eating and drinking this do any of the great things that we have attributed to it? Make us clean before God the Father. Give us Christ himself. Enable and empower us to love one another. Be united in that love. Those are big claims for bread and wine. And Luther's answer is, of course, that it isn't just bread and wine. Certainly not just eating and drinking do these things, but the words shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. These words are the main thing. Whoever believes these words has exactly what they say. God's greatest miracles are those which are hidden in plain sight. You can see what they produce, but the miracle itself is often open to interpretation. We can see all of creation, yet some can look at that and say, it's just there by accident. And yet others see the very hand of God. We can see that man on the cross. And our faith, based upon the word, is that this one is both God and man. And that that is the perfect sacrifice. That here God has made atonement with God. That here our humanity, the humanity of all of us connected to Christ, was assumed into God. The centurion recognized it. Yet it's possible to see nothing but a peasant killed in a terrifying way. God's greatest miracles are hidden in plain sight. And we are told in the Word what they are. And we can see what they produce. But what is given to us is faith. Here, and every time it's celebrated, it is the very body and blood of Jesus. It's a great miracle. And we can see the results. This body called into being, this body of Christ, the love that we have for one another, the love that we have for our neighbors, that is so often troubled by this world, an urge to enmity and division, but overcome by that love. The unity that we experience in that love. Unity that is felt even across some sad divisions. We can see the miracle work. And yet the body and blood is hidden under the bread and wine. What is given to us in this meal is faith. And here, God works all that he has promised. Here, he washes our feet. And here, we have union with God. Amen.